You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, formerly Rod's Pulse Podcast, number 93.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Glad to be back. That was a clip from California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas. So there's a bit of nostalgia for you, at least for some of my more mature listeners. It was recorded live almost 45 years ago when they played at the Monterey International Pop Festival, which also helped to boost the careers of Jimi Hendrix, The Who, Janis Joplin, The Byrds, Jefferson Airplane, and, of course, The Grateful Dead. Turns out I've been doing a bit of California Dreamin' myself lately since I'm planning our family vacation out there this summer. I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. Well, let's move on to my main topic today, Panopto Lecture Capture. As they say, quote, a flexible and easy-to-use presentation capture platform that lets users capture, edit, stream, archive, and share recordings that preserve critical knowledge, end quote. I'll be interviewing Dr. Mark Nestor, Associate Provost and Chief Information Officer at the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia. Mark first used Panopto in his former position as CIO at Miami-Dade College's medical campus. We'll try to answer the questions, what is Panopto, how is it used, what is unique about it, and how hard is it for faculty to use. As always, I'll post the links to all the resources we discussed on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Without further ado, here's my interview with Dr. Nestor. Mark, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us today. I'm interested in your experience with Panopto, and I know you had a lot of experience with that at your former position down at Miami-Dade. For our audience that doesn't know much about Panopto, maybe you could just give us a brief rundown of what it is and what's unique about Panopto as a lecture capture system.
Thanks, Rod. It's great to be here. At Miami-Dade College, which was my previous employer, we were using Panopto beginning in about 2008. We started it as a pilot. I was the CIO of the medical campus, but we actually endeavored to institute lecture capture across the entire college. So it was a pretty big undertaking, and we looked at a lot of different solutions in that space. And what appealed to us about Panopto is it's a software-based solution. And for a large institution like Miami-Dade, it was much more cost-effective than trying to budget for a hardware-based solution. We also found that it was very cost-effective and competitively priced. So Panopto worked out real well for us. And we started it at the medical campus, predominantly using it in our physical therapy program, but quickly expanded that into nursing and eventually into all of our health science programs. Our faculty used it in a lot of different ways. We were able to use it in the large lecture halls connected to a PC for scheduled classroom recordings. But what we found is it actually worked really well for us, for the faculty to have it in their offices to do pre-recorded lectures. And that allowed them to effectively change the way that they delivered their classroom instruction. The students could check out the lectures or the pre-recorded content before class, and that gave them a lot of flexibility in terms of what they could then do with a classroom experience.
I was just curious what you think is unique about Panopto. Did you consider other lecture capture tools before you decided?
We did look at other solutions. Actually, we had a college-wide committee that was charged with evaluating a number of different solutions in the lecture capture space. We quickly found that we narrowed it down to our three top choices at the time. That was Tegrity and Echo 360, and then Panopto came in sort of at the last minute as a third choice. We liked all three of them actually very much. I think that Tegrity actually was probably at the time considered a bit more feature-rich, but when it came down to evaluating all of the different options, including cost, Panopto turned out to be our top choice. We also liked that Panopto was a smaller company, and it gave us a chance to work with them more directly. We had a number of different feature requests at the time. And Panopto was willing to work with us on building those feature requests into future releases. So within about 6 or 8 months, we actually had several of our feature requests incorporated into the production version of Panopto. And that included things like a Mac recorder, video podcast, and some other features. And they were very receptive to us, and they were great to work with. We also, at the time, Panopto offered something called the Socrates Agreement, which actually does not exist anymore, but it was a great way for them to introduce themselves to the academic market. And basically what their business model was quite different than a lot of other companies in that the Socrates Agreement allowed for the institutions to effectively get the software for free and use it as much as we wanted. We just only had to pay for support. So in terms of cost, it was very nominal for us for the first year or so. I think that it's something that they've discontinued as they've moved into a larger market space. But it was great to get in and be able to do a really thorough evaluation of the product and really have some success with it at a very early stage. So that plus the working with the company was something that made it very unique.
That's one of the benefits, I guess, of being a pretty large institution. For those who are not that familiar with lecture capture, what does it capture? What does it record?
Lecture capture is, in my opinion, is something that's been around for a long time. It goes all the way back to what I would consider the earliest form of lecture capture, which was essentially writing notes on the chalkboard. That's something that's evolved over time that included students taking notes. Then that evolved into students bringing audio recorders to class, and then that evolved into videotaping the class. But there were always significant drawbacks to that in that that was somewhat limited to the technology of audio or video recordings was not searchable. You had to fast forward or rewind. And it also was, in terms of notes, it was limited to the ability of the student to effectively capture, in essence, what the instructor was saying. And there's a lot of statistics out there related to how fast the average person can write versus how fast the average person can talk. And there's usually a huge disparity between those two numbers, which means that if a student is paying their attention to writing down what the instructor is saying, they're missing a lot of the essence of the instructor. So the modern day lecture capture system allows the students to concentrate their attention on listening to the instructor because they know that the recording is going to be available to them afterwards. Other advances in systems like Panopto and other lecture capture systems is that it allows not only for the video of the instructor or the audio of the instructor to be captured, but it also allows for other types of media to be captured as well. And that could be PowerPoint. It could be screen capture. So if an instructor is showing something on their computer screen, that's captured. It allows for other sources of information, things like smart boards or even something as simple as a second camera on a whiteboard to be captured. Pretty much any secondary source that the computer can recognize can be captured. And then everything is indexed. So it's what we would call chapterized. It allows the students in the final recording to scroll through at the bottom or the side to see the different points in the lecture, and then they can click on that. Everything is synchronized, so whatever the instructor was saying when that slide was up would be, you know, so they can jump right to it. And that's a very unique thing. What is appealing is that any given student may need to see any different point in the lecture. So what you may be looking for is completely different from what I'm looking for. So they can jump right to that point in the lecture. And then Panopto has a search feature that allows the students to type in a keyword. And then wherever that word occurred on the screen in the PowerPoint, they can jump right to that point in the lecture. So it's very much a time-saving tool for them. They can find the information that they need, jump right to it, and then move on.
I was curious how your faculty responded to introducing technology like this. I know faculty and others like to change the way they do things. Was this intrusive in the way they teach? And also, I guess, How was it used? I know it can be automatically scheduled, or you could have the instructor turn it on and off. How did that go with rolling this out to your faculty?
Rolling out Panopto was really quite easy. What we did was we actually asked for volunteers initially. So we started with the physical therapy program and then eventually added some folks from nursing and vision care and other programs, but it was on a volunteer basis. And what we did was we actually had a cart that we outfitted with all of the recording equipment, since we initially didn't have it in all of the classrooms. And we made that cart available, so on request, we would actually have a media person go to the classroom and actually handle the recording. Even though Panopto is fairly simple, we found that that helped the instructors feel at ease with making sure that everything got recorded properly. And then after about three or four class sessions, the instructor would start to take over some of the starting and stopping of the recorder. It was pretty easy. It was what we called the big red button. They would basically click the red button to start recording. They would then go into their lecture, and then at the end of class, they would click stop, and then Panopto did the rest. But it was so it was a volunteer effort at first, and we then, once we started to have a lot of success, both in terms of student interest and even some academic success, then it sort of grew from there. And then the faculty were our greatest advocates to other faculty. And we eventually, at the time when I left Miami-Dade, we were at about 60 to 70% of our lectures were being recorded. And we anticipated that that was going to go up to about 90% over the next year. And it was all based on sort of word of mouth. And then we would move from one, systematically from one class to the next. We also offered the faculty their choice of recordings. So if they were the type of faculty who preferred to have the recording done in class, they liked, you know, the true representation of the lecture. They also didn't have a whole lot of time after class to be, you know, scheduling recordings and whatnot. Then we would do it that way. But we also offered them a choice of pre-recording lectures, and then we would install the software in their office, give them a little web camera and a microphone, and they could actually record, pre-record their lectures. And there was a certain, it was about 50-50 mix between the two groups, the pre-recorders and the in-class recorders. And it basically had to do with the content, with their style. If they were anticipating that they might be reusing the lectures from semester to semester, then they oftentimes they wanted to pre-record them. In pre-recording their lectures, they found that the content was shorter because they didn't have to do class business. They didn't have to answer questions. They could just go from one slide to the next without interruption. They could get it perfect, and then they could use it, you know, for as many semesters as they wanted to use it for. But that just basically boiled down to what their preference was. But overall, it was pretty smooth implementation at our campus.
What's been your experience with adding video? Does the video of the talking head add much, do you think? Or are there situations where it's more important? What's been your experience with that?
That's a pretty good question. We certainly had our share of faculty who were camera shy, who felt like they didn't really need to be in the video. But surprisingly, there's something about having the instructor in that, you know, corner of the web browser that the students really related to. It somehow visually connects them to that point in the lecture, whether even if they were just sitting at their desk speaking into the web camera, the students tended to favor that over those that chose to just do audio recordings. But it was certainly up to the instructor and whatever they felt most comfortable doing. We encouraged them to use the video just because we felt it added an extra dimension. And once the instructor had a chance to do maybe half a dozen of the lectures, then they, you know, got over being camera shy. We also did some recordings where the instructor would wear a wireless microphone during the lecture, and that gave them the freedom to roam around a little bit. They didn't have to feel like they had to stand in one spot while they were doing their lecture. They would move around a little bit, and if they went off camera for a little while, the audio still got recorded, and it wasn't a big deal for the students as long as they could continue to hear what was going on. So it gave the faculty a little bit of flexibility in that regard.
We're almost at the end of our time, but I guess I have one more question. I know Panopto's like MediaSite and some of the others, it records a lot of statistics, a lot of analytics. Did you make use of that? Did the faculty take a look at that? How valuable is all that information?
Yeah, the analytics were extremely important to us. In fact, in looking at my notes about what we would hope for in terms of future enhancements to Panopto, I actually have advanced analytics as one of the key ones. But the built-in analytics were pretty solid. They would allow the instructors to see how many of the students watched the lecture, how long they watched the lecture, when they watched the lecture. So it was pretty predictable right before a quiz or a test. The usage would spike. We actually found that the statistics that we had matched up with a lot of industry statistics in that the students don't watch the entire lecture. So it was, especially for those in-class recordings, they were there, they took notes, and they were going back basically just to review a certain portion of the lecture. And that was interesting to see which portions of the lectures were being watched the most. And that was a really good key for the faculty to know maybe what needs to be reinforced. So the analytics were really important. We also used them from the business perspective of knowing how many hours of recordings we had done. Once we switched to the hosted model, we had to be mindful of disk utilization. We wanted to make sure that we weren't going over, so we watched that. For the folks that were pre-recording their lectures, they used the analytics a little bit differently. One example is a physical therapy faculty member started pre-recording her lectures, and after a couple weeks, she said to me, well, they're coming to class, but they don't seem like they're very prepared. I don't think that they're watching the lectures. And I showed her how to use the analytics, and she actually, at the next class, she pulled that up on the screen and showed them that she knew that most of them were not watching those pre-recorded lectures. So that turned around very quickly. So she would actually check the analytics before each class just to make sure that the majority of them were watching. My hope is that in the future, those analytics will reveal some trends about some of the content that's being viewed to give the faculty a more informed position so that they can prepare. If they're using the class time differently, the analytics might help them sort of figure out what the weak points are and what the students are struggling with and where they need to reinforce some of the content. So it's definitely a very important feature, and I always recommend that the faculty get acquainted with using the dashboards to know how it affects their students.
Great. I think that really shows the utility of this kind of technology, and I'm glad I was able to pick your brain a bit. I know we're in the process of rolling it out here at the University of the Sciences, and I want to thank you for speaking to my audience today.
Thanks, Rod. It's great to be here, and I look forward to seeing Panopto rolled out college-wide. Thanks.
I hope you learned more about the advantages of Panopto. Please stay tuned for California Dreamin'. Until next time, have a great week.
We'd like to sing a song that was based upon this very great land in which we are now sitting and squatting upon. Yeah.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.